Wake up! It's the Sleep Unplugged podcast with Dr. Chris Winner, episode 49, Sleeping Naked. Are your clothes getting in the way? Welcome, everyone, to the Sleep Unplugged podcast. My name is Dr. Chris Winner. I'm a neurologist and sleep specialist and your host. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. If you're a veteran of our podcast family, welcome back. This should be a really fun topic. It's a topic the media loves to talk about. And I personally have been interviewed. I looked it up before I recorded this episode. I personally have been interviewed 8 times since 2015 about the topic. Outlets like MSNBC, Prevention Magazine, Women's Health, Livestrong, even the Wall Street Journal, March of 2020 did an article called "Sleeping Nude: Liberating or Unhygienic?" So there's clearly a lot of interest in the topic, and we're going to dive in deeply today to find out what are the benefits of sleeping naked. Now, if you're listening to the podcast, I'm not going to tell you whether or not I am actually naked as I record the podcast. That's a whole other episode. Is there advantages to recording a podcast while being naked? If you're watching our YouTube channel, you can actually see I'm in a robe, but it's for me to know. It's the secret of the podcast that I might reveal when we end the podcast many, many years from now, whether or not I was actually naked underneath the robe during the recording or not. So let's get into it. Before we generally start our show, we usually start off with comments, criticisms, corrections, compliments. We've got a comment from Judy in Basel, Switzerland, who writes, "I've skimmed over your topics in the podcast, but didn't see anything regarding tips for improving deep sleep. Even with following all the best sleep practices, I find I rarely get a full hour of deep sleep. Most of the time, it's under 20 minutes." So I assume she's using some sort of fitness tracker to look at that, I'm guessing. So this is a great topic to talk about because one of the big issues with sleeping naked is, hey, if you sleep naked, it actually improves the quality of your sleep. And we're going to dive into that, Judy, to find out if maybe sleeping naked in Switzerland could be your ticket to a higher amount of deep sleep. And Judy's reminding me that we definitely need to do an episode about sleep tracking and its accuracy and things of that nature. That's, I think, just a fantastic topic because a lot of questions that you all send in relate to what you're seeing on your sleep trackers. So I think that will be a really good thing to sort of focus on. So before we dive in, let's take a look at the title. Are your clothes getting in the way? This is from a line in the Adam Ant song strip. I almost titled the episode Sleeping Naked. If I strip for you, will you strip for me? But I thought that Are Your Clothes Getting in the Way was even better. Could have even gone Leonard Cohen, So Many People You Had to Meet Without Your Clothes. But I focused on Adam Ant because we've not talked about Adam Ant before. This was off of his 1983 album. It's his fifth album. And I'm counting his Adam Ant solo and Adam and the Ants all kind of put together. This was not a completely commercially successful album. His first few albums were extremely popular, particularly in Britain, in that sort of new wave, sort of punk attitude. But his music, I've always felt Adam Ant's musical sensibilities and style really escape conventional classification. I've always been a huge Adam Ant fan, and I like the song Strip, even though the lyrics are a bit icky at times. And a couple of little trivial points about the Strip song. Number one, Anna Fried Lyngstedt of ABBA is actually the woman's voice speaking the little spoken line midway through the song, which I always thought was kind of interesting. And the song has got an amazing rhythm section. I mean, just the beginning of it, when you listen to it, it is just one massive audio hook. And what's really interesting is that Phil Collins is actually playing drums on that song. And when you listen to the song and you think about Sussudio and In the Air Tonight, it's clearly apparent. It's probably one of the reasons why that song's so fantastic. Adam Ant played Live Aid in 1985 and was famously very upset that he only got to sing one song. And he chose not to sing any of his hits. He sang Viva La Rock. And even today, a lot of people think that his energy in the performance was really one of the better performances, even though he's one of the few artists to only sing one song. Speaking of Phil Collins, Phil Collins was the only person to perform both at Wembley Stadium in London and in New York on the same day. He flew on the Concorde from one place to the next and performed in both venues. And since this is Mental Health Awareness Month, I just want to make a comment about Adam Ant. Adam Ant famously struggled with his bipolar disorder, and I came across a quotation from him. He said, "I couldn't get to sleep. I didn't make love for 7 years. My hair fell out. I couldn't pick up a book as I couldn't concentrate. I didn't write a song or pick up a guitar in that time. I piled on the weight. I might as well have been dead." So he really, really struggled with mental health, as a lot of people do. And I think that sleep is often not only a sign of mental health collapse and problem, but can also be a way out. So we wish Adam the best. He still tours, and his music is really worth checking out if you haven't dove into the collection. So let's talk about it. Sleeping Naked. I've talked about it before. In fact, we did a bonus episode. So is this episode 49 or is it 50? Because I did a bonus episode about sleeping around, where I slept with a fire department, slept on the side of a mountain, went on tour with a musician. One of the episodes I always wanted to film that nobody wanted to see, I'm sure, was what it would be like to go sleeping, you know, go and spend time in a community of nudists or naturalists. Does that really affect your sleep in positive ways? How does it affect your attitude? I've always been kind of fascinated by that topic. 1 in 3 people in the United States sleeps nude, according to the National Sleep Foundation. So is there any real scientific benefit to it? And that's what I want to really get into in this episode. Or is it just a choice, and it's a fun choice, and it's a comfortable choice, but there's really nothing scientifically advantageous about it? So we're going to go through some of the topics that are often thrown around, and we'll dissect some of the evidence that's available for that. And just because there isn't evidence that supports it doesn't mean it isn't beneficial, but we're trying to be academically rigorous here. So when we declare something to be beneficial, we want to have at least some degree of evidence behind it. I'm struck by a 2014 article in the Daily Mail that said, "Why sleeping naked could cut your risk of diabetes, not to mention ward off infections, trim your waistline, and feel less exhausted." So Daily Mail is not a scientific journal. It is a publication in Great Britain. So what prompted this? And so what prompted this was a 2014 study that was published in Diabetes. Actually, Celi, C-E-L-I, is the author. He was actually at VCU at the time. Did a study entitled "Temperature Acclimated Brown Adipose Tissue Modulates Insulin Sensitivity in Humans." Let's break that down. What they're basically saying is, could temperature, the temperature exposed in at night in this study, affect your distribution of brown adipose tissue? So adipose tissue is fat. And so brown fat has been thought to be metabolically protective, lead to better, higher caloric expenditure, lower weight, just healthier in general. And so the thought was, if you expose individuals to different climates at night, could you affect not only the proportion of brown adipose tissue that an individual accumulates in their body, but does it have a metabolic effect? So in the article in the Daily Mail, it was saying, hey, it could, it's great, it could do all these things. But when you really look at it, first and foremost, there was only 5 subjects in this study. There were 5 men that were studied over 4 months, and they were studied at different nocturnal temperatures, 75 degrees, then 66 degrees, which, if you're familiar with this show, is probably more advantageous, or what we think is being more advantageous, back to 75 and then 80. So during the 4 weeks they spent at a temperature of 66, they doubled their brown fat composition. Now, again, doubling 50, 100% more, 50, I don't like terms like that. What does that necessarily mean? How much did they start off with? How much did they end with? So, but in this study, basically, they doubled their brown fat. And I think that's really interesting. And as the author states over and over again throughout the study, that doesn't quite make it into the Daily Mail article, he He's like, look, this is a great jumping off point. This is really interesting, but I want to point out a few things. In the summary of the study, well, I'm going to take a step back. First and foremost, there was nothing about sleeping naked in this study. You know, they had sort of standardization in terms of what they were wearing, but you did not have to sleep naked to be in the study. In fact, that would be a difficult study to perform, probably. Number two, what he writes in the summary was that brown adipose tissue recruitability, or being able to increase the amount of brown adipose tissue by cold exposure, happened, but cold-induced thermogenesis response augmentation wasn't necessarily seen to a statistically significant amount, meaning, yes, they had more brown adipose tissue, but we can't prove that linked to any significant metabolic advantage. It remains unclear to date, and this is quoting the study again, whether this brown adipose tissue recruitment is accompanied by any metabolic benefits. That's really important, because that's not what the article in 2014's Daily Mail basically said. I'm going to read the summary of the paper, which I think is an important one. In summary, temperature acclimation modulates brown adipose tissue abundance and activity, subsequently impacting energy and substrate metabolism in humans. That is metabolic improvement. That is weight loss. That potentially could be improved blood sugar control or even diabetes management. Brown adipose tissue exhibits thermal plasticity, meaning we can change it based upon the thermal environment we're in, intimately related to glucose homeostasis. There we go. There's, again, blood sugar control, diabetes. Harnessing brown adipose tissue by simple adjustments of ambient temperature could be a new strategy in the combat against obesity, diabetes, and related disorders. So to be very clear, this is an interesting first step in that direction. I think that we've known that individuals who live in different climates around the world often change their brown fat composition based upon the environment and temperature in which they live. The real question becomes, number one, can we manipulate that with consistency over a long period of time? And two, what are the metabolic consequences that come from that, if there are any? And so in the previous study, while they burned more calories, nobody demonstrated any changes in weight, which I thought was really interesting. So you were burning more calories as a result of that colder environment, but your weight didn't change. This reminds me, in organic chemistry class, when I was in college, one of our questions was, if you're somebody who drinks tap water at room temperature versus drinking ice water, how much ice water would you have to drink to cool your body enough to burn a certain number of calories or lose a pound or something like that? So the thought was, if you're drinking colder water, your body has to warm up to regulate homeostatic body temperature. So if you're constantly drinking cold water and you're constantly revving that up, could you in fact lose weight? And how much cold water would you have to lose a pound? I remember it being unbelievable amount, and it was all kind of theoretical at the time. So let's think about diabetes risk. Let's think about weight and sort of metabolic consequences in general. I think that we can sort of safely say this is an interesting topic. There's some interesting evidence to support that this could be related to these things, but I'm not sure we can go there yet. And since the topic of our podcast today is sleeping naked, I'm not sure that the nakedness changes anything over wearing very loose fitting shorts and either no shirt or a tank top. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that we can make that jump of, well, what if I wear very light, you know, bamboo fabric shorts and a very light bamboo fabric top? Am I hurting myself in terms of diabetes risk? I think the answer is probably not, because A, we don't know that clothing changes that. You know, if you're wearing flannel pajamas, sure, but, you know, could you wear loose fitting clothing and still get the same benefits of sleeping naked? Sure. And even outside of that, we're not sure if there's a direct causal relationship here yet, but very promising and exciting research. Number two, sleep quality. And I'm going to refer back to episode 25 of the podcast because I don't want to rehash that. Because episode 25 is basically saying, look, we think you can improve sleep quality and depth and deep sleep, Judy, if you're listening, and speed with which you fall asleep, if that's important to you, and reduce wakefulness after sleep onset, all by reducing temperature. There was a 2004 study looking at older men that even mild heat exposure during the nighttime period can do all kinds of negative things. It increases your thermal load, makes you hotter internally, suppresses the decrease of body temperature. So remember those temperature curves in episode 25, we need to see a decline in body temperature to not only spurn sleep, to start it off, to get us sleepy, but also to maintain quality, healthy sleep. That temperature drop is really important. Decrease REM sleep and increases wakefulness and whole body sweat loss. So you're sweating more, you've got an increase in wakefulness, you're waking up more during the night, decrease in REM sleep. You know, all of these things are happening simply because you're exposed to a warmer temperature before you go to bed. So when we think about sleeping naked, sure, I think that sleeping naked probably does lend itself to a cooler body when you are sleeping. Once again, do you have to be completely naked to sleep? Could you have a pair of boxers on? Could you have a loose-fitting, light, you know, fabric, breathable t-shirt? I don't think that we can say one way or the other that one is better. And I'll throw a disclaimer out there that nobody really cares to hear. I typically sleep naked in most circumstances. I just feel more comfortable. I do sleep hot. I've got a device that's cooling my bed. We've talked about that in the temperature. So I just sleep a lot better when my body is really cool. Do I think that if I throw a pair of boxers on because we've got guests in the house that I'm screwing everything up? I don't. In fact, I often do. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't have to be completely naked, but a lot of times it's just I shower right before I go to bed. So it's just silly to put on a bunch of clothes just to take them off and a few, you know, to go to bed. So anyway, the next thing I'll talk about is healthy skin. I saw this in a study that said basically if you sleep naked, you'll have healthier skin. I think that's really interesting from a couple perspectives. I looked up one article that, you know, quoted another, you know, research article about this. And the article was from the Journal of Applied Science, which if you're a fan of the show, if you listen to the introductory episode about my research with sleep and pigs, my article where I drew the pig is actually in the Journal of Applied Science. So I have a special place in my heart for that journal. As this is a 2018 study by Tracy Smith that said the impact of sleep restriction on local immune response and skin barrier restoration with and without multi-nutrient intervention. So just listening to that title, and I read the study, there is nothing about sleeping naked and the skin's ability to repair itself, look younger, etc. What it basically said was sleep restriction, not getting enough sleep, impairs the skin's ability to heal and regenerate. So that's a big leap. In fact, I would say that's a leap that should not have been made based upon citing that research. So yes, if you want to say, Chris, if I get better sleep, will I look younger? Will my skin heal better? Will I, you know, look more youthful? I think so. Yes. I think there's some evidence out there that would say that. If you're saying, if I put on my favorite Depeche Mode t-shirt to sleep in at night, am I screwing things up? Oh no, not at all. In fact, I think you should wear that Violator t-shirt, wear it proudly. That was a great tour. Anyway, so again, we're often in these articles, even the ones that I participated in, because I, you know, I always read the article that I'm quoted, and I'm like, oh, I didn't necessarily say that, or you took that what I said and took it a few steps beyond what I really meant. I don't think that there's really a lot of articles out there that can say with any authority that the nakedness amplifies this research that we're talking about. But again, sleeping well definitely makes you look and feel younger, I think. Whether you're wearing clothes or not. Reducing stress. This was an interesting one as well, too. So this was, I saw an article was talking about reducing stress, and they cited an article from 2019 in the Journal of Endocrinology that talked about the role of oxytocin in stress reduction, which I think we can say with certainty that oxytocin, which is a chemical related to intimacy and human contact and sexual relationships, I think it does absolutely reduce anxiety. I don't think there's a lot of argument about that. And so they were talking about the skin-on-skin contact that you have with a partner in bed could facilitate oxytocin and make you less stressed. There's a lot of things here that we need to mention. Number one, this is assuming you're sleeping with someone. Number two, it implies that if you've got a pair of shorts on and a tank top, that you're not getting as much skin-to-skin contact. So this would be a great study. Let's measure oxytocin in couples that are naked in bed and spooning versus couples that are wearing flannel feet pajamas, long sleeve, where the only skin exposed is from your neck up and your hands, and let them do the same sort of spooning and measure their oxytocin. Does it truly have to be skin to skin, or is it human connection? And I've seen things about mothers and infants, breastfeeding, where the skin to skin contact is extremely helpful. You think about the Harlow monkeys and the little baby monkeys with the soft monkeys and the wire monkeys, and the wire monkeys were not as good as this. So I'm sure there's some, but is it something about skin to skin that is mandatory for the oxytocin release? Or is it the coupling? Is it the fellowship? Is it being with your mate? I don't know the answer to that. So I think that we have to be very careful with that. I suspect we get a lot of oxytocin creation when we're just adjacent and coupled up with somebody, whether or not, a certain percentage of our skin is touching a certain percentage of their skin. So the last two are really interesting that I wanted to kind of touch upon here. One was talking about vaginal health. And, these articles that I read about this often talk about, the vagina being aired out at night. And just, I'll throw this out here. If anybody has comments or wants to share their sleep situation and their feelings about wearing clothes or not wearing clothes, you can reach the show through my Twitter. That's Dr. Chris Winter on Twitter, Dr. Chris Winter Instagram. And also there's a Sleep Unplugged YouTube page as well, too. You can interact with the show on there as well. So there was a 2019 review that basically said, look, wearing synthetic and tight clothes, sweating clothes, non-breathable panty liners or sanitary pads could increase the risk of, poor vaginal health. Sure, I'm certainly not going to argue with that. I'm by no means an expert there, but I think there are ways to sleep at night for women that don't involve tight-fitting, non-breathable, sweaty panty liners or sanitary pads. I think there's ways around that. In fact, I feel like I've seen lots of things just in the last 5 years of different methods for individuals to deal with sanitation and menstrual cycles, but still sleep comfortably and be hygienic. Outside of a menstrual cycle, I think there are plenty of clothing options that are not any of those things. They're not sweaty. They're not tight. They're not non-breathable. So again, I understand what you're saying, but we're kind of taking a leap. Yes, I think in the most extreme case, wearing that type of clothing could lend itself to perhaps more yeast infections and things of that nature. But I think that there are plenty of clothing options available to women that are not those things. And so I don't necessarily buy that argument. And similarly, we can switch over to men and fertility, sperm counts. This was something that I was aware of even when I was young, wearing little tighty whities around. And then at some point I switched to boxers and soon became, aware of evidence or communications that, hey, when you wear boxers and your testicles are not pinned up against your warm body, it actually helps with sperm counts and fertility and things of that nature. And there was a 2016 study that said basically they divided men into all these different categories, people who wore boxers during the day and boxers at night, or briefs during the day, boxers at night, or briefs during the day and nothing at night. And they did show that, where was it, that individuals had about a 25% increase in sperm count when they wore boxers or nothing at night. I've seen that in a couple studies. And there was a 2018 Harvard study that showed the same thing, that there was 25% higher sperm counts, boxers over briefs. And even some morphological, like the sperm even looked different in the two different groups. But the problem really becomes, does that affect fertility? And the Harvard study basically said, we don't know that. Just because your sperm count has dropped 25%, there isn't a direct relationship between that and fertility that we know of, that we can prove. I mean, it makes sense to me. If 25% less, you know, players in the game, that might make a difference, but maybe it's such an overwhelming number anyway, it doesn't matter. Or even though the count is lower, there's some morphological changes, it's not affecting the ability to get pregnant. So I think there's reason to think that, look, if you're struggling to get pregnant or concerned about that, I'm sure every urologist in the world would tell you, hey, why don't you wear briefs or wear nothing at night? There's no harm in it. I think that I was surprised myself when I dove into this literature that there wasn't a more overwhelming, clear choice that the boxers or sleeping naked would be better. But I think that we can say pretty definitively, sleeping with tighter clothing versus none at all is probably affecting sperm count to some extent. One final thing I would like to mention, which I found really fascinating, which was self-esteem and sleeping naked. Again, it's Mental Health Month. And I read a fantastic article in the Journal of Happiness, which the fact that there is a Journal of Happiness makes me extremely happy. This was from a professor, Keon West. I invite you to follow him. It's Prof. Keon West, P-R-O-F-K-E-O-N-W-S-T. Journal of Happiness 2018 wrote, investigations and applications of the effects of naturalist activities on body image, self-esteem, and life satisfaction. And it was a fantastic paper that really challenged certain beliefs that I would have, meaning that I would think that for some people who weren't really excited about their body, that maybe sleeping naked would be problematic and lower self-esteem. But he's saying no, that attitudes about nakedness are changing. And being naked, you know, when you sleep at night, can actually boost self-esteem and make you more comfortable with your body. And I really like that. I think that's a great thing to sort of end on in terms of the potential pros of being naked, that we all have a body and it's got imperfections. I'm working on a little cold sore on my mouth now, and, you know, I'm short and got big ears and a head that's not quite proportionate to my body, but yeah, we all have our things, you know what I mean? And so I love the idea that spending more time naked may be actually a positive when it comes to building self-esteem and positive body images, image. And I think that's a wonderful thing to sort of think about. Just very quickly, I couldn't find a lot of information about enhanced intimacy, but I suspect that when you douse logs in fire and play around with materials that shoot off sparks, you're probably going to set a fire more often than not. So being in bed with a partner in a constant state of nakedness, I can imagine might facilitate more intimacy than not. I mean, you're kind of, hey, look, we're already naked, so why not? But I couldn't find a lot of, or really any information that showed that. And after reading Professor West's paper, you know, the idea that being naked, he writes a lot about, does being naked facilitate sexuality? Like being in a nudist environment or a naturalist environment, he says that there's a belief that it sort of promotes these things, but it's actually the opposite in a lot of cases. So intimacy will just add a big question mark to. I'm going to throw out a few cons that I've thought of. Again, I couldn't really find a lot of evidence to any of them. Number one, your living arrangement. I think if you live with a roommate in some sort of platonic situation, you know, you and a bunch of college friends are now living together in New York City and working in various financial institutions. Yeah, probably sleeping naked is not the best thing in the world, but, you know, that's up to you and your friends and how you feel about things. Response time. you know, we get bears in our trash can around here and hear weird noises. We've had trees fall on our houses. People come to the door at weird times, you know, or an emergency happening. How comfortable are you responding to those things, leaping out of bed to deal with the bear in your trash can completely naked? So I think that's something to probably be aware of. Sleepwalking. A lot of people come to our clinic because they went to the hotel room. They slept naked in the hotel room. They walked out of the bedroom, the hotel room, out in the hallway. The door locks behind them. They're completely naked and kind of out of it. I've heard that story over and over. And there's always some kind stranger that pulls a blanket off his bed, puts it around the poor, you know, woman walking around completely naked, and kind of helps her wake up, you know, get the front desk involved, figure out where you're supposed to be, and get them back. And let me tell you something, that's a distressing situation to be in, and often sends a lot of people directly to a sleep clinic like ours. The final one I'll say is hygiene. And I'm not going to get too much into it because we're all adults here and we know what we're talking about here. I think that if you're going to sleep naked, there are some considerations there around hygiene, you know, washing your sheets maybe more often. I think really sleeping naked necessitates a thorough bath or shower prior to going to bed. I can't imagine the idea of a full day and hitting the gym and doing all these things and getting home, stripping naked and getting into your bed with the, you know, the residue of the day on you. So I think that there's some pretty decent arguments to be made from a hygiene perspective about sleeping naked, and I'll leave it at that. So I'm curious what you think. We'll put some fun content on social media this week about sleeping naked. How many of you all do it? I've already admitted to the fact that I do. So there's one vote in the naked column, but I was also the one vote for the I don't believe in iced coffee and got overwhelmingly shut down about that. So share your thoughts about sleeping naked. Just your thoughts. We don't need pictures. This week, Dr. Chris Winter Twitter, Dr. Chris Winter Instagram. We'll post some the images of this on YouTube, on our Sleep Unplugged YouTube page. Really look forward to hearing what you all think about sleeping naked and your response to this podcast. That's it. I hope you all have a wonderful week. I hope you enjoy this podcast. And until we speak again, sleep well, maybe naked.